Today on CityCast Denver. We're taking a short summer break, so all this week we're listening back to some of our favorite conversations with local authors. From mostly true stories of growing up and finding connection in Denver in the 80s, to a suspenseful novel that takes place at a hunting resort during a pandemic, this week will help you get your summer reading list up to snuff. Today we're firing up the grill and talking about a summer favorite, barbecue.
I had a contest where basically a lot of people created hype names for me. There's like Sultan of Smoke, Pharaoh of Fire, you know, there's a whole bunch of them you can choose from.
Adrian Miller is a two-time James Beard award-winning author, and last month he won a Colorado Book Award for his latest book, Black Smoke, African Americans and the United States of Barbecue. Our regular host, Bree Davies, spoke with him about Colorado's barbecue story back when Black Smoke came out last summer. Today is Monday, July 11th, 2022. I'm Lizzie Goldsmith, and this is CityCast Denver.
Well, thanks for joining me, Adrian. I appreciate it.
Good to be with you.
We're going to talk about your book, Black Smoke, which chronicles the role of Black barbecues, pitmasters, and restaurateurs in this larger picture of barbecue. And I wondered, what was the impetus for you to write this book?
Well, it was really just consuming a lot of food media and getting a bad case of indigestion because there was so few African-Americans either interviewed or depicted or even just discussed. And that didn't square with my own experience growing up because barbecue is a huge part of African-American food culture. And then anyone who takes an earnest look at barbecue history understands that African-Americans made significant contributions. We're not role players here. To use a term of art, it was whack.
the lack of representation in a clearly, really a space where Black folks have accelerated in the food space.
Yep.
Did you find anything interesting about particularly in and around Colorado or our region in general where barbecue was happening or had different historical references?
Well, what was happening in Colorado was pretty similar to what I would say is the Latino tradition of Mesoamerica. So the idea of an earth oven. So indigenous people were doing in this part of the country were digging a vertical hole, putting a heat source at the bottom. That would be a mixture of wood and stones because you light the wood on fire and then the stones would retain the heat. And then layering vegetation. In this case, they were doing bison, vegetation and meat. And then you would cover that whole thing up and you would either do this really early in the morning and eat later in the day, or you would do it later in the day and let it cook overnight and then wake up and have an incredible breakfast of champions. So that's what we see here in this part of the country. And in fact, I make references to some Native Americans calling those meat holes. That would be the English translation.
What's the barbecue scene like here in Denver historically? Do we have roots here in barbecue? I mean, I know a little bit, but I would say it's not a well-known type of cooking here in Denver.
So in terms of Colorado barbecue, the thing is that, you know, we think of barbecue as splintered into all these regional styles and things, but that is really only about 100 years of barbecue history. The first few hundred years, barbecue was pretty much made the same way. It was getting a whole animal, butterflying it, and then cooking it directly over a trench filled with hardwood burning coals. So that's what a lot of people did. And so we see that in early Colorado. Now, the meat of choice in Colorado was actually lamb and bison. So Colorado has a very long tradition of cooking lambs. In fact, in the 1890s, there was something called Greeley Potato Days. So it was a celebration of the potato harvest. And there are newspaper reports of a lamb barbecue being made to celebrate that harvest. And, you know, this lamb barbecue was feeding 5,000, 10,000 people. And, you know, we just never really rode that. I was going to say ride that horse, but maybe that's the wrong analogy. but we never really took it to a point where we developed a regional style, which is a missed opportunity on our point. And actually, one of the things I'm just kind of eager to do is I actually want us to have some kind of contest or something where we create a signature barbecue dish. Now, the only way that's going to work is people then have to embrace it and cook it at home and feature it in restaurants. Because if we have a recipe and nobody makes it, then you can't call that a regional style.
Yeah, no, definitely. And that's what I'm thinking. I'm like, I grew up here and I don't have any reference other than Daddy Bruce of any barbecue centric things happening here. Mm-hmm. With that, looking at those, the late 1800s, early 1900s, and what is the role of Denver's Black community in our barbecue scene?
Oh, Denver's Black community is pivotal to our barbecue, because you have to understand barbecue is hard work. And so the racial norms of the 18th and 19th century, you could say even into the 20th century, if there was hard work that needed to be done, make African Americans do it. Now, if you didn't want to pay them, you would have enslaved African Americans do it. But essentially, barbecue was not, the craft kind of lens that it's viewed through now. That was not the case back then. It was menial work, which was appreciated because barbecue is delicious, but it was very labor intensive. And so when you go back and look at a lot of descriptions of barbecues, not exclusively, but for the most part, African Americans were doing the labor in terms of cooking it, all the prep work, and then serving it. Now, that changes by the time we get to the later 1800s. In 1900s, you start to see more diversity in terms of barbecue cooks and other things like that. But a lot of the early reports of barbecue in Colorado reference African Americans. And some of the biggest barbecues ever done in Colorado were by African Americans. The one guy in particular I talk about is a guy named Columbus B. Hill.
Yeah, can you talk a little bit about who he was?
Yeah, so he's a guy that comes from West Tennessee. And so Hill comes to Denver in the late 1870s. And in short order, he's doing large barbecues. So there was a big barbecue in 1882. It was called the Denver Merchants Barbecue. And the Rocky Mountain News, the Denver Post, all these other newspapers at the time did a big write-up on these things. Columbus B. Hill was one of the cooks, and that was a barbecue for 5,000.
Wow.
And then on July 4th, 1890, there was a cornerstone laying ceremony for the Colorado State Capitol. And on that occasion, Columbus B. Hill does a barbecue for 25,000 people, and right in front of the Capitol. And then in 1898, probably the most notorious barbecue ever in Colorado, it was a VIP barbecue for the stock show. Columbus B. Hill was in charge of making a barbecue for just 5,000. It was just VIPs. And word got out in Lodo, which was the seedy part of town at that time, and 30,000 people showed up, and there was actually a food riot. So the whole thing ends in disaster.
So he was pretty famous.
He was pretty famous. But, by the time he dies, he's just not celebrated. So I actually found his unmarked grave at Riverside Cemetery. And so pre-pandemic, I was actually starting to raise money to buy him a headstone. And I had to suspend that because of the pandemic. Because whenever I do this, I want to have an actual ceremony.
Yeah, no, I feel like more people need to know our history in that respect. That's incredible.
Winding through the canyon, her anticipation rose. Monarch Casino Resort Spa, the epitome of mountain chic. Her pulse raced as she sat down at a high-limit Baccarat table. Hungry? She chose the Southwest Fusion flavors of Bistro Mariposa before ascending to Bliss, a top-rated spa Monarch, for a signature massage treatment. She slept well in her luxurious hotel room, fulfilled by her stay. Write your own story at monarchblackhawk.com.
Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call or text 1-800-GAMBLER.
So Denver lost an important figure this month, Bruce Randolph Jr., who founded the Boulder Barbecue restaurant named after his father, Bruce Randolph Sr., who many people know here as Daddy Bruce. Can you talk about what the Randolph family's role in the community was in terms of barbecue, but also overall Daddy Bruce's humanitarian work?
So I feature Daddy Bruce Sr. in my book. He's one of the kind of storied barbecuers in Denver history. He starts his restaurant in 1960s and, runs it until his death in 1994. But I put him in the chapter about church barbecue because I wanted to show the example of a man of faith who did a lot as a humanitarian. So if you didn't know Daddy Bruce for his barbecue, you certainly knew about his Thanksgiving meals that he would give away. And that's just the grandiose example of his generosity. If you talk to him and people who knew him, he was generous in so many other ways. But, thousands of people would be fed every Thanksgiving, and he got national press for doing that.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people see those, you know, might see the street or see the school and not necessarily realize that he was this incredible humanitarian through food. Do Black-owned barbecue restaurants face different challenges these days in Denver? I'm just thinking about how gentrification has changed the makeup of so many of our neighborhoods, and something that we lose often is the restaurant or the gathering place. Do you feel like that's the case for restaurants too here?
Oh, definitely. I mean, we don't have any barbecue places now in Five Points. We don't have any places in kind of urban, you know, the center of Denver, downtown Denver.
Yeah.
So most of the Black-owned joints are now in the suburbs or the outskirts of town. And that's a reflection of gentrification. And sadly, it's also a reflection of the havoc wreaked by the pandemic. So yeah. One of my favorite places was Boney's Smokehouse, which was downtown, right just off the 16th Street Mall on Champa. But, you know, the pandemic just really cut into their business, and they had a large space, so it was just hard to generate income. So they had to close. Maybe they'll come back. I don't know. I was going to let some time pass before I reach out to the owners. And, you know, the thing about gentrification is this. A lot of times Black restaurants are in, you know, they start in a Black neighborhood. And you're the neighborhood joint. But when people leave, whether, you know, by choice or for other reasons, then that neighborhood joint becomes a destination restaurant. And unless people make a committed effort to support that restaurant, it just becomes really challenging.
Well, barring the pandemic, are there any places that you could recommend for good barbecue in Denver?
You know, in terms of Black-owned barbecue, the three places that come to mind, and again, these are either in Denver or just in, you know, the surrounding area. So you've got Hungry Wolf Barbecue on Havana, Southtown, and then you've got Winston Hill Barbecue in Centennial. And then in terms just generally, you know, Denver's barbecue scene has just stepped up tremendously. So a place I love is Owlbear Barbecue on 29th and Larimer. You've got Roaming Buffalo. You've got GQ Barbecue. You've got Rolling Smoke. I mean, there's a lot of good places now.
Adrian, thank you so much. This has been great.
Thank you for having me.
That's all for today here on CityCast Denver. If you enjoyed the show, why not take a minute to tell a friend about us, rate the show wherever you get your podcasts, and subscribe to our lovely morning newsletter. We'll be back tomorrow morning with more news from around the city. Bye!